Did national politics play a part in the Unilever merger that never was? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It would have been in the top three most expensive mergers of all time, but the food conglomerate Kraft Heinz has now officially abandoned its effort to merge with Unilever of both the Netherlands and of Britain. Last week, Unilever had said no to the proposal, but it was first thought all it might take was a higher offer. Famed investor Warren Buffett had backed Heinz's bid, but reportedly neither Buffett nor the Unilever boss wanted to fight this one out in public. Among possible other reasons for the merger going nowhere? Well, there's an election coming up in the Netherlands, and some Dutch politicians might not want to lose control of something they see as theirs. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains.
There is an election coming up in the Netherlands. Nationalist kind of political issues are going to be a major theme there. It is, of course, an Anglo-Dutch company. You could expect to see some of the same pushback coming from within the UK, although there's no election coming up there. But that all adds to the potential to lead to a very significant political headache for Kraft Heinz. So perhaps that's another factor that's made them reluctant to push this offer.
Among companies that lost out when the music stopped was Lazard and Morgan Stanley, which were hired as advisors to the deal. Unilever's stock is down 6.7% in Amsterdam, down 7.5% in London. In the U.S., it's President's Day, where we're meant to thank George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and sales. Some of this is retailers betting we already paid the January credit card bills for the big holiday season. And Sally Herships has an answer about why all the mattresses.
There are holidays, and then there are the way retailers see them.
Memorial Day, people want to work on their lawn and outdoors. That's Home Depot. Easter is actually a big shoe sales holiday.
Paul Swinand is a retail analyst with Four Hills Advisors. He says the rhythm of the retail calendar is connected to our history as farmers.
Even in the early days of the United States, banks extended credit in the spring after the holiday seasons because farmers were planting.
The mattress connection? Many are bought on credit. David Bell teaches marketing at Wharton. He says mattress shoppers can wait for sales.
Obviously, with a mattress, it's not an issue of great urgency.
Like diapers. Candace Corlett is president of WSL Marketing. She says retailers consider President's Day mattress sales a tradition.
Once they know that a shopper has connected a certain date in their mind with a sale, they want to be sure that they deliver that sale every single year.
For mattresses, that's President's Day. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Canada's population is growing faster than any other G7 country, thanks in large part to immigrants. The country's relying on them to bolster the shrinking workforce. But Canada hasn't just thrown open the gates. It uses a points system for newcomers designed to identify job skills. Marketplace's Rima Crace reports.
After years of watching its birth rate decline, Canada hit a troubling milestone in 2015. The number of seniors surpassed the number of young people. Mario Bellissimo is an immigration lawyer in Toronto. He says that posed a real threat to Canada's workforce.
We were quickly losing any population growth.
So the country stepped up its efforts to admit more immigrants with specific guidelines, says Thomas Sewell, a professor of sociology at McGill University.
The emphasis in Canada is on admitting migrants that fill labor market needs. It's very deliberately selective.
Unlike the U.S., he says Canada uses a point system to determine who enters. It's based on things like language fluency.
Age, education, work experience.
Again, Bellissimo. He says about 60% of immigrants come through the point system. And he says,
anything that Canada can do to try to be more attractive to potential American citizens or others is something that they're definitely going to pursue.
Because, he says, globally, there's heavy competition for immigrants. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Hey, somebody's come up with an architectural design that lets you Airbnb-ize your house. The idea is out of Texas. As Florian Martin reports from Houston, it aims to make a house easier to divide so that sharing can become a steadier source of income.
And I spent about 8 months.
Lydia Affman gives me a tour of her townhouse in Houston's Sunset Heights neighborhood.
This actually becomes a private unit.
It's a two-story building that looks pretty plain from the outside. It's a white rectangle without many windows. But it's what's inside that makes this home special.
You could easily just shut one unit off or you could leave it all open. if you don't have guests. But when you do, you can just have your privacy.
For about $570,000, including the land, Affman had her townhome designed in a way custom-made to host short-term guests, like a hotel, or long-term guests, like those who are looking for corporate housing. It has three separate units, each with a kitchen and bathroom. The homeowner, or primary renter, is meant to occupy the first floor, with a spacious living room. Affman is hoping to build more homes to sell to other potential hosts.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good business model.
Stephen Barth is a professor of hospitality law at the University of Houston. He says the concept could take away more business from hotels.
Because people have decided it's more comfortable to be in an apartment-style, condo-style thing.
But Barth says there are a few things that professional home sharers have to be aware of.
Well, the first thing you'd want to do is, first of all, make sure it's legal.
That means they need to comply with any city regulations or homeowners association rules. For example, do they need to pay hotel occupancy taxes? Barth says many Airbnb hosts can make the argument that they're only renting out their homes occasionally.
Well, in this model that they're designing and building specifically for that concept, it'd be very hard to make that argument that you're not subject to those taxes.
Also, homeowners insurance may have to be adjusted to include temporary guests. Affman paid for a feasibility study that concluded the concept could make her money while she sleeps, assuming there's an 88% occupancy rate throughout the year. In Houston, I'm Florian Martin for Marketplace.
And Peugeot of France is trying to see if it could buy Opel from General Motors, which is into selling. Reuters says Peugeot will meet with British labor union officials later this week, given the Vauxhall Opel factories that are in Britain. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.